trying to mess with me, but get my shit together. Of course I'm going to get my shit together.
Eventually you'll get your shit together.
Yeah, I'm getting it together right now.
Hi, everybody.
Coming in.
Yeah, we've been sitting here for like 10 or 15 minutes, and talking. It's like he still hasn't got it.
Yeah, I forgot to go in there.
He forgot to go in there. Yeah. He's coming in.
Yeah.
On his tablet.
All right, so we're going to do a review of a movie called Shutter Island. All right, and this thing was a fucking masterpiece. I love this movie.
I really liked this movie a lot. I had never seen it for some reason. I don't know how I never got around to
it. Leonardo DiCaprio, all-star fucking film. Fucking, it had, who's in this thing?
Mark Ruffalo was in it.
He does a great
job.
Ben Kingsley is in it.
Max von Sydow is in it. Ted Levine is in it.
Yeah,
from Silence of the Lambs. Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
The dude. Oh, was she a great big fat person?
Well, she's a great big fat person.
He does a really good job on it.
And I love that guy.
This is a period piece taking place, it looks like, in the 40s or 50s.
1954.
Yeah,
they say that.
Hey, look at Pookie. She's now with the show.
Immediately.
She
goes over after the wrapping paper.
And it's about a cop who goes to this island where they have an insane asylum on it.
For the criminally insane.
And it's owned by the government. It's federal property. And he's going there investigating the disappearance of a girl.
One of the patients.
Yeah. Now, if you ever seen a movie called Midnight Alley,
Nightmare Alley. Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Nightmare Alley. There's a lot of twists and turns to it, a lot of mind fucks in this movie. But it's easy to follow. It's just a really good flick. Real good. I'd like to own it. Will you stop it, Pookie? Just tear the paper.
Yeah.
She goes, no.
Stop tearing it up, Pokey. Yeah, she's like, okay. Yeah. Well, at least someone's paying attention to me now, so I don't have to make.
She just wanted attention.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Because as soon as we start talking to the camera,
she's like, nope.
She's like, no, can't. Okay. She's gonna go down there and do
it
again.
Yeah, she's gonna go there. But I'm having a good time.
I'll punish you.
Poor Pokey.
Stay down and be quiet.
She's like, no, I can't do that.
She's looking at me like, okay.
She's like, I'll wait until you're not looking, and then I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Damn it. She's such a brat. Danny says, this film's proof that Martin Scorsese can do horror films and be successful at it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I feel like I've seen most of Martin Scorsese's movies, right? And for whatever reason, this came out in 2010. And I didn't see it in the theater, and then I just kept seeing it. It's like, man, I gotta get around to seeing that one of these days. But I just, like, never did, because I kept seeing, like, people recommending it, and it's like, oh, it's so good, and it's kind of like a horror movie and all this other kind of stuff, and I was just like, I just never got around to it. So then, like, Saturday night, and I was, like, scrolling through, I guess it was Amazon Prime, and it was on there, and I said, you know what? I'm really in the mood to finally pull the trigger on that and, like, watch that movie. I said it's, because I told Tom, I said, it's between this and Memento, because I've been wanting to show him Memento also, Christopher Nolan's Memento. Which maybe we'll do eventually. But he's like, oh, I kind of want to watch Shutter Island, like the Martin Scorsese one. He hadn't seen it either.
I've never seen this. The first time I've seen it, I was impressed. I mean,
It's real good.
I'm 10 or 15 minutes into it. I didn't realize it was Scorsese. Yeah. I'm 10, 15 minutes into it. I go, this movie's great.
Yeah, he immediately got sucked right in.
This
movie, like, you can tell if Tom likes a movie or not.
Yeah.
Because it's like, he'll put down his tablet.
Yeah.
And just watch it.
Yeah.
Because normally, if he's like doesn't really give a shit, he'll keep picking his tablet up and like talking to people on Facebook and shit like that. But it's like this one, he didn't really do that.
Well, it's one, the actors, the story, and the tone, and the setting. It's kind of like taking place in a, if you like video games like Batman, it's kind of taking place in a place kind of like Arkham, with the Arkham Asylum.
It is kind of like
it's kind of like that. This creepy place on this island. There's no way off. And he's doing this investigation. He's kind of like an old. Private eye, you know. It's kind of like one of those kind of flicks. He's not a private eye though. He's a
federal marshal.
Federal marshal.
Yeah.
But it kind of had that private eye feeling to it, you know. Like, yeah, you know. This is their lingo, and again, the acting was good. The storytelling's good. Just the edit, everything. Everything about this movie is a masterpiece. If you like this movie, if you have seen this movie and like it, I recommend Nightmare Alley, the new one.
The Guillermo del Toro one.
It's
I kind of want to see the original, too. That was also based on a novel. So was this, actually.
Yeah,
this
also a period piece, but similar in quality. And it's about a guy that joins the carny, a murderer who joins the carnival. And he gains all these skills on how to be a psychic, but he's a fake psychic. and he's able to con people. And then he runs into a psychiatrist that do the same thing. They con people, and they're trying to get money and power, and he gets tied up with a billionaire who's a damn murderer and shit. That's a wild flick. It's kind of like this one. So if you like this movie, see the new Midnight Alley, Guillermo del Toro. Fucking great. You'll love it.
Yeah, we reviewed it a while back once. Because we saw it in the theater.
A tonally similar movie. Also a period piece taking place in the Great Depression.
Yeah, this movie here, this is based on a novel.
Hey, I'm taking the toys from you. You've abused it. Now she's running.
She's like, oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, put that in the closet or something.
I'm going to put it right here.
All
right.
Because then she'll yell.
That was Christmas wrapping paper.
Yeah, I forgot to put it away, so she's like over there fucking with it. Right. So the novel this was based on came out in 2003, and the guy that wrote it, his name's Dennis Lehane. Now, that guy also wrote the novels that Gone Baby Gone was based on, and Mystic River, which I think we've probably reviewed both of those at some point. But yeah, so that guy wrote this book too. And, to talk about this movie, we're gonna have to, like, spoil the big twist, but I feel like it's 14 years old at this point. So I kind of feel like if you haven't seen it, you don't know what the twist is, then...
If you've never seen this movie and you want to see it, I'd probably check out now because this has got some twists in it. And this is a fantastic, epic flick. And I'd hate to ruin it.
Well, the thing about it, like I said...
Maybe we need to be vague. I don't know.
It's too hard to talk about it. And then, talk about its themes if you can't spoil it. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's kind of one of those things.
But we're going to give you time now. You can always come back and watch this show later. Now's the time you want to check out.
Danny said, even if you know the twist in this film, it's still rewatchable, in my opinion. Okay. The thing about it was that even though I hadn't seen it, like I said, I don't know how I didn't see it in all this time, but I finally got around to it. But even though I didn't see it, I was pretty sure I remembered that I had read about it somewhere, so I knew what the twist was. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I had kind of forgotten, but then when I was watching it, I was like, oh, I think I remember reading something about this and I know what the twist is. But like you said, it doesn't really affect your enjoyment of it. I thought this was cool because it seems a little bit, I don't know, maybe I'm just talking out my ass, but it seems a little bit different than a lot of Scorsese's other films, because I feel like he went just unabashedly genre, and he's just like, I'm gonna make a neo-noir that's kind of like a Hitchcock film. He said that he was kind of thinking too about Val Lewton's films from the 40s, I Walked with a Zombie and stuff like that, and he wanted to make it like that. So it uses a lot of the tropes of an old noir film, whereas it's kind of not entirely, it's kind of almost more subjective. They're trying to show things subjectively from the main character's point of view rather than everything making narrative sense. I'm not saying there's plot holes and stuff, but I'm just saying that it's meant to be, because of the twist, it's meant to be not entirely realistic. And he shot it in that way as well. Everything looks sort of hyper realistic or a little bit slightly surreal.
But the dude's crazy.
But in a way that doesn't... Yeah, it's almost kind of like it's trying to put the audience in the shoes of the main character, who is not entirely sane. Let's put it that way. But not without reason, though.
Yeah, he went through some shit here.
All
our regulars are saying they all know it and everything.
That's what I mean. I think most people know what the twist is in Shutter Island. It's not that unusual. And this came out a few years after a bunch of other movies that had a bunch of twists, like Memento and Sixth Sense and all that kind of stuff. So
turns out that the detective who's going to this island to investigate this missing girl, turns out he's not a detective, he's a patient. He's just tripping. All right. He's crazy. And he's a patient at that hospital. That's one of the main things. And he's not a detective at all. Actually,
he used to be.
He's not. He's a patient. He's a patient because his wife murdered their three kids, drowned them to death. And then he killed the wife. And they locked him up in the insane asylum.
And it wasn't just that, it was the fact that he felt responsible for her killing the kids.
Because he didn't get her help.
Because, because she was clearly very mentally ill. She had burned their apartment down.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to face the fact that maybe she needed help or she was maybe...
Well, she was pretty.
Yeah.
You know, dude's gonna fuck sometimes. He was trying...
Oh, you're fine. You'll be fine.
You're pretty.
We'll just move to this house. But then she ends up, like, killing all their kids. Right, yeah. And he almost kind of, like, killed her to, like, put her out of her misery.
Yeah, but that's really the twist. People are saying... Twist is only a small part of the movie. People who have seen the twist, watched it again, it's better knowing the twist.
Yeah, because you can pick up all the clues and stuff. Like, I was watching a couple of, like, breakdowns of it where they were pointing out... They're like, really, if you're paying attention, the twist is not really a twist. Which, in a way, is kind of the best kind of twist. Because you don't just want a twist that comes, like, out of fucking left field and didn't have anything to do with shit that happened.
I didn't see it coming.
In the thing.
I didn't see it coming.
Well, I only did because I thought that I remembered that I read something about it.
When they started telling him he was crazy... I thought they were playing a game with him to try to get him out of there. Because I thought it was a CIA front, like you said. Mind control with the Nazis.
Right.
That's what he thought he was... That's not what he thought he was dealing with.
But see, I like...
He was dealing with Project Paperclip Nazi thing.
That they left it ambiguous enough...
Where that might be a possibility.
Where that's still a possibility.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that that's what is happening, but you could read it like that if you wanted to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd probably go either way. So you have... an element of Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it.
That's what I was thinking.
It's got that in it, too. It's a fucking awesome flick. I want to own it. It's a masterpiece. Acting is fucking top-notch. Kingsley is the shit in this, all right? Kingsley's been in some real fucking turds.
He has, right? Yeah.
But he kind of reminds me of Donald Pleasance. He never phones the shit in. He actually does his job.
Yeah, he'll take the shit seriously.
And in this one, man, he is fucking great in it. Everybody's great in it. Max von Sydow's great in it. Fucking Ruffalo. Ruffalo's good in it. Fucking, what's his name? The fucking, the star of the damn show. I forgot.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo, yeah. Fucking DiCaprio. This is probably, so far, my favorite work of DiCaprio. And I fucking loved his work in Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, Xanadu was saying how much he liked Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, fucking.
That's a I really.
I could watch that movie over and over. The soundtrack is awesome.
Yeah.
Fucking Romeo. Now I have not seen Blood Diamonds yet, and people say that he's real good in that too.
That was good. I saw.
I want to see Blood Diamond.
Yeah. It's been a while. I saw it on an airplane, like when it first came out.
He plays a South African mercenary.
Yeah.
And it's based on a real character.
Yeah.
So I want to see that one too.
You probably really like that.
This movie fucking impressed me, man. And tonally and quality wise, it was like Guillermo del Toro's Nightmare Alley. That movie, we saw that in a theater, and it had me riveted.
I was riveted, yeah.
That is really, should me, you know, as far as Tom Ross's must see recommendations for life, to give you life skills, Nightmare Alley.
Yeah. Well, like I said,
you can learn some shit from that movie.
Yeah, Leslie said The Machinist 2004 was first. That's another movie that I've been wanting to show Tom because I really, really liked
it. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's great too. But there, I feel like for a while there, and this was maybe like kind of late to the party as far as that goes, but there was kind of a whole small subgenre of films that kind of came out in the 2000s, like late 90s and 2000s, that had like sort of a twist like that where it's like, oh, it was all a dream or it was all... This kind of reminded me a little bit too, slightly, of Jacob's Ladder. Came out in 1990.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the twist in that was that he was dying on the Vietnam battlefield the whole time. This was 2010.
Okay, yeah. It was back when Hollywood still made good movies occasionally. This bitch is fucking a great flick. Like I said, that Del Toro film was recent. And nobody ever even talked about it.
Yeah, that was just a couple years ago.
And it was great.
I'm pretty sure we could watch it again because I think it's on streaming for free.
Yeah, I want to own it.
Yeah.
I want to own Nightmare Alley, and I want to own this one for my own personal collection.
I'm glad you liked this one as much as you did. Because like I said, I had been wanting to see this for a long time, and I just never got around to it for whatever reason, even though it sounded totally like something that I would absolutely want to watch. But yeah, so...
I didn't know I'd be a DiCaprio fan. I mean, I liked the only thing I knew him from really was Romeo and Juliet. I never saw Titanic.
Titanic was okay.
Never saw it.
I mean, he was still pretty young, but I mean, he's
great in this.
Yeah, he became like a really like a lot of people are coming. Yeah, Blood Diamond is great. Zanada. Also, The Departed. It. Yeah, that was also great.
Haven't seen that.
The Revenant. Yeah,
haven't seen that one. That was one awesome I missed. Yeah. I got to see more of DiCaprio's flicks, man. I got a lot of respect for him on the back of this movie. He was a kid when he did Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
And Claire Danes was in that. She was so fucking cute. Damn, that was like a baby Claire Danes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she did a good movie that nobody knows about called Broken Down Palaces.
Broke Down Palace. Yeah.
About two girls that were smuggling drugs into Thailand, and they get busted, and they end up in these prisons, and they were Broken Down Palaces. It's based on a real case. I own it. It only came out on DVD. But that's a good flick, too. It was Claire Danes, and what was the other girl? You remember?
Shit. No, I can't remember.
It was Chicks from the 90s.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. Okay.
Xanada said, Tom's seen The Aviator, right? I'm sure Jenny has.
Yeah, I have seen The Aviator.
I've seen it a couple times.
It was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, Xanada said Jenny's seen everything.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I haven't seen everything. There's a lot of movies I haven't seen, but I have seen a lot of movies.
Yeah.
I try to keep up with stuff.
Yeah, Aviator's pretty good. I'm a fan of Howard Hughes.
Yeah, so
the real
that's
Howard
why
Hughes,
knew,
yeah.
That's why I knew that, yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, so here's the thing. This movie, like I said, it's very much like, this seemed to get like pretty positive reviews when it came out, and it actually made a lot of money. I think this is still his second highest grossing film ever.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd never even heard of it.
Yeah. So it is like, it kind of got, I think some critics didn't like it because, and it doesn't get talked about as much, maybe, like nowadays as some of his other films did. I think it was because it was just so unapologetically a genre film. He was trying to make something that was like a throwback.
Like a period.
To like a noir.
Yeah, like a noir.
Right. So he used like a lot of the tropes from that, and he very much leaned into the idea that you're making everything like an artifice. Like even from the first scene of the movie where, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, his name is Teddy, sort of. That's not actually his real name, but you know what I mean. So we'll just call him Teddy, is coming to Shutter Island on the ferry boat. Everything looks, like the water and stuff like that behind, looks slightly fake. In a way that you're kind of like watching it going, that kind of looks fake, but not exactly. But then like you don't really know. It's almost kind of like meta in that way. Where he's like, everything looks sort of like artificial.
I thought it looked great.
And the reason that it looks slightly artificial, but not in a way that draws attention to itself, is because you're seeing everything from his perspective, and his perspective is
a little bit wrong.
Warped.
Yeah. To me, when they show the island and the things that happen to the island, it's like something out of Arkham Asylum in the Batman video games. It's very gothic looking and dark and stormy always, and water because a hurricane's coming.
Yeah.
And it's just this huge damn fortress, Civil War fortress, is where they're holding all these mental patients, and they got vehicles on the island, and you get a real kind of trapped feeling, kind of like that witch flick, the Legacy, where you know you can't get away from the house because all roads lead back to the house. It's kind of like that kind of feeling. I just can't say enough about the movie. I thought it was great. One of the best movies I've seen.
And like I said, the more you think about it, and the more, like, once you know what the twist is, that this is all of this stuff about him being a U.S. Marshal and him coming there, like, looking for this missing woman, and the thing about his wife dying in a fire and all that stuff. Like, after you find out that none of that is true, and really they're just doing this elaborate role play, like, because they think that that's going to, like, help him get better. So they're just kind of, like, letting him, they're, like, indulging him, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, they're just all going along with it. Once you know that and you go back and watch it, because I was watching, like, some breakdowns of it where they kind of went back and they looked at all the scenes, they're like, once you know that he's not really who he thinks he is, and that everybody on the island, like, all the other patients and the doctors and everything like that are just playing along with his delusion, like, a lot of the scenes make a lot more sense.
Yeah, I want to see it again.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to see it again.
And all the stuff, too, about, because even, like I said, from the first scene where he's on the boat and he's talking about, like, how seasick he is and all that other kind of stuff, it's because he has an aversion to water because of his wife drowning
the
kids. And it's like, but he can't confess that to him. So he keeps saying she died in a fire. She died in a fire. But she didn't. You know, he shot her. Yeah. So it's just kind of like he can't deal with it. So he's constructed this elaborate fiction. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, the more you think about it, it's just really well constructed. The way that all these scenes kind of... Like I said, if you're paying attention, you could probably figure out...
I'm watching the movie, and within 10 minutes, I'm drawn in, and I'm going, this is a fucking masterpiece movie. I had no idea it was Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Now it may start making more sense.
Like I said, it's a little younger bit then, unusual fucking, for his type of movie.
Yeah, but really he doesn't make anything bad.
No.
He knows how to
bring... I've never seen anything bad.
Yeah, he knows how to bring an audience into the story. And it has a lot of horror aspects to it. It's good.
Yeah, big time. That's what I kind of feel like this is almost... I don't know if I'd call it a straight horror movie, but almost.
Yeah.
You could maybe call it a psychological horror.
Yeah.
Because look, if Jacob's Ladder is a horror movie,
yeah,
then this is probably a horror movie too. So maybe it is an actual horror
it movie. It had almost a Kubrickian feel to it. It almost felt like a Kubrick movie.
It did a little bit.
Almost felt like Eyes Wide Shut. Kind
of. Yeah.
The tone. And which I want to see that again. I haven't seen that in a long time. Eyes Wide Shut.
We can watch that tonight if you want.
Maybe.
Don't we have it?
I got it, I think.
I thought we had it.
I think I might have it, yeah.
Xanada said, I'm a huge DiCaprio fanboy. He's been in so many good movies. He really has.
Who said that?
Xanada.
Okay, yeah.
Said, I wanted to hate him because he was a pretty boy, but his acting skills made me love him. I kind of feel like a lot of...
I didn't take him serious.
I was watching another review of this movie like earlier, and he said the exact same thing. He's like, when Leonardo DiCaprio first came on the scene, he was in Titanic and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's like all the girls loved him, and it's just kind of like, oh my God, like, fuck that dude. And everything like that. But he's really... It doesn't happen much. Usually you get these kind of hot young actors and stuff, and they don't, you know, do anything. They're not that great or whatever. But he is, like, actually in some great fucking shit.
Yeah, Xanadu, if you like Romeo and Juliet with DiCaprio in it, I went and did my research. I'm so much of a fan of that movie. All the innuendos in that version of the movie are true. In other words, all the innuendos about drugs and homosexuality, and all, that is all in the original, and people have noticed those for hundreds of years.
Yeah, that's all from the play. They didn't make anything up.
No.
It's easy to adapt for modern audiences.
Yeah, because all that shit was going on back then.
Mercurio
probably was in love with Romeo and gave his life for him and then cursed him after his mortal wound, you know, pox on your both your houses. That's probably when you read the dialogue, even in the context of that time, because he was saying his love could never be achieved. He was gay. And he was in love with Romeo.
Tammy says, Inception is another great Leo movie. I agree. That is a great fucking movie. You'd probably like that too. That's a mind fuck. Inception.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen
it. Plus, it has Tom Hardy. Yeah, I don't think you've seen it either.
Anything with Tom Hardy, man.
That movie's great. You should probably see it.
I haven't seen Tom Hardy in a bad movie.
No, I don't think I have either, now that I'm thinking about it.
That motherfucker right there, man, he's a great British actor, and he delivers on screen. I'm a big fan of Hardy.
And great ass.
Does he? Yeah, that's right. No, it's not the ass, it's the back arch.
It's
the back arch.
That makes it a great ass.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what I mean. Leslie said, we can see a lot of going on from the classic folk horror, The Wicker Man. I thought that too, like, because the whole story of The Wicker Man, the original one, not the Nicolas Cage one, is they draw the cop to the island under false pretenses because there's a missing girl, but she turns out not to be missing, which is kind of the same thing here. So I was actually thinking about, kind of like The Wicker Man. I mean, in other ways, this movie isn't anything like The Wicker Man, but like that plot setup is kind of like The Wicker Man.
Yeah, Xanadu, don't bother sending me I got the Steelbook of
He's got a Steelbook of
I got the deluxe Steelbook.
You guys don't understand. He fucking loves...
I love that movie.
That movie.
Yeah.
He loves that movie.
I can watch that over and over again.
We've seen it multiple times. Yeah. He loves that movie so fucking much.
And I love the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I even put songs from the soundtrack like on my phone so he could listen to it in the car.
The gayest song of all times is on there. It's one of my favorite songs. Angel.
By Gavin Friday.
Gavin Friday,
He loves that fucking song.
Fucking love it.
And every time it comes on, I'm like, it's time for the gay party.
It's me and Zach up in the fucking penthouse, with the camera.
With pink bubble champagne bath and balloons.
We're going to have a whole fucking big serving tray of fucking lewds and cocaine and shit. It's going to be the gayest party of all fucking time. Just snort up.
Every time that song comes on.
That's right.
Sebastian's also saying Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah, that's another good one. Killers of the Flower Moon. Yeah, that's the one that just came out. Also has Leo in it. Great film.
Yeah. I gotta see fucking Blood Diamond.
Yeah.
I got that fucking rifle.
You should probably
the Blood Diamond carbine, the AR-15. I got, but I haven't seen the movie yet. I just seen the rifle.
Yeah,
I love the XM177 or the CAR-15. I built one. I got a fucking new A1 carry handle upper coming. It'll be here tomorrow, so I can get rid of that detachable carry handle. You guys know what I'm talking about. I finally go. The thing is, you can't get the original colors. The original colors were gray, phosphate kind of gray, and it was kind of a light black. And when I was in the Army, The M16A2 and the A1 issues were not uniform colors, the upper and the lower, and they're being done by different companies, and the magazines were kind of silver, but you can't get those colors anymore. Everything's black now, unfortunately. That's why they're spray painting when they do a Blood Diamond carbine reproduction. They're spray painting it Tiger Stripe.
Yeah, Xander said, I loved John Leguizamo in Romeo and Juliet.
Too. Yeah, he's great.
Actually, I really like John Leguizamo generally. Like, he's always fun in everything that he's in. He was in what was the George Romero? Was it Land of the Dead?
Yeah.
One of the George Romero zombie movies.
And the differences between
the one that had Dennis Hopper
the Capulets and the fucking Montagues was ethnic even back in those days. It was more of a Spanish family versus more of kind of like a French type family. That's why they weren't intermarrying. You know, there's so what you see in that movie is accurate to the original. Those two families weren't supposed to be mixing. That's why Romeo and Juliet were not supposed to be together.
Like I said, that's why Shakespeare's plays are timeless because you can adapt them to any time period, and it totally works because if you know the euphemisms and shit they were using, it's not that different from modern day, so you can update it like easily. Yeah.
So technically, of the age of the in Shakespeare's time, that was an interracial romance. That's what they'd have considered it.
They're also talking about Gangs of New York. Yeah, I really liked it. I think I saw that in the theater.
Actually. Haven't seen it in a long time. I remember it being a great movie.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, that was Scorsese. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Claire Danes was great. Straw Dog says Claire Danes was great in U-Turn. From 1996 with Sean Penn and Nick Nolte, directed by Oliver Stone. I haven't seen that in a long time.
So
I totally forgot about that.
She was so
movie.
Cute in the 90s.
Holy crap.
She's
I think
probably
I
still cute. I haven't seen her recently.
Yeah, what's she up to? I haven't seen anything. I mean,
she was so cute.
Like I said, I don't even know actors if they're still around because there's so many movies and so many TV shows. It's like, for all I know, they could be famous on some TV show that I don't know about. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, I'm never like, hey, where'd they go? I don't know. Xander said I'll have to send Blood Diamond and Inception soon. Oh, that would be awesome.
You send a man, fucking will immediately do it.
Yeah, because I've seen both of those, and they're both excellent.
Okay.
So, and you know, I think you will like them.
I'm becoming a DiCaprio fan.
Yeah. See, like I said, I kind of feel like a lot of people don't want to because we are old enough to remember like when he first came on the scene. Like I said, when he was in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. He was actually great in that. That was that his first role. Couldn't have been. I mean, he was pretty young then. But yeah, like then he was in Romeo and Juliet, and then he was in Titanic, and that just like blew up. And
when Titanic came out, I turned on him. I was like,
a lot of people did.
But I
it's an okay movie. I don't love it, but it's pretty good.
I'm thinking maybe I should see that one too. But you know what I mean? Everybody loves it. But Romeo and Juliet, he knocks it out of the park in Romeo and Juliet. But he's a kid actor. He does a great job in it.
Yeah.
But there was something about Titanic coming out, and he flooded the market so much with Titanic that I was
like everybody's sick of looking at his fucking face. You know, I get it.
But no, this movie here made me a believer.
The scene in Shutter Island where he's having the flashback when he finally has the moment of clarity, where he actually remembers what happened, like with his wife Dolores, like drowning their three kids, and he goes out there and is like gathering all their bodies up like in the thing, and he's just like freaking out. That is so good. I mean, my jaw fucking dropped at that. Like, it was just really, really.
Movie's a masterpiece. Kind of reminds me of The Green Mile too, being a period
piece. Slightly
has some
even though
that
was the 20s, was it not?
Yeah, but I there's but it has that
this
period
is,
piece.
Yeah,
it
this is the 50s,
and it's still. I think those are all great movies that we've mentioned. I put it above Green Mile.
I love Green Mile, and like I said, that's a Stephen King thing. We reviewed that not too long ago. But Green Mile, I don't know if I'd necessarily call that a horror movie.
It's just a weird flick.
It's, yeah, you know, it's kind of a fantasy thing. Fantasy drama.
Adventure-ish.
Kinda. This
paranormal,
like, drama. I said, I think I would almost maybe call this a horror movie.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying, and, you know, if you guys saw that I put up my history of horror movies thing, I absolutely called Jacob's Ladder a horror movie. And this is kind of similar. You know what I mean? Because yeah, he's having, like, all these weird flashbacks, and there's all these really weird, creepy dream sequences, you know?
Yeah.
Where he's seeing... Now, here's the thing. So he has all these flashbacks of Dachau, like, the when they liberated it. And he, you know, was kind of the first one to fire the volley of shots against, like, all the Nazi guards or whatever when they did it. And, he keeps having all of these... visions or memories of, like, all the bodies that they found. Now, didn't they say in the movie that that had actually happened to him? Or was he making that up, too?
I don't know.
I was pretty sure that they said... Because he was a federal marshal. He wasn't making that up.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think he saw... No. He did see a bunch of bodies. I think they did... He did find...
That's what I thought.
A concentration camp. But they said that he did not machine gun the guards.
That whole scene with him just, like, letting that Nazi dude die, like, that that Nazi guy that tried to, like, shoot himself and, like, missed, and then he was just laying there dying, and he's like, nah, fuck you, I'm just
what's gonna,
like...
What's up, Sly? Good to have you back, bro.
Hey, what's up? So, but see, that's the thing that's cool about this movie is that you're never, because it's all subjective, it's all from Teddy's point of view, who is not really who he thinks he is, you are never entirely sure what's real and what's not, even in the shit that's really happening, you know what I'm saying? Like the whole scene where him and his quote-unquote partner, who's played by Mark Ruffalo, Chuck, who actually ends up, spoiler alert, being his doctor, but he's pretending to be his partner, and that whole scene where they're up on the cliffs because he wants to go to the lighthouse, and then like he thinks that he sees Chuck's body down on the rocks, and he like climbs down there and he's like, oh my god, I gotta save him, like they took him to the lighthouse and all this other stuff. It's like, did that scene really happen?
I don't know.
That, you know what I mean? So that's kind of what's cool about it. It's like really, really ambiguous as to...
Ruffalo, I only knew that dude from his role as the Hulk.
He's been in a bunch of shit,
which is kind of a thin-ass fucking... All that MCU shit is pretty fucking thin. In this movie, he's a fucking heavyweight, man.
I always liked him. I always liked him.
Yeah. Just goes to show you a lot of these fucking silly-ass actors are good when you give them the right material.
When you give them the... Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, and fucking DiCaprio, becoming a fan. I want to see Blood Diamond. Xander, send me Blood Diamond, bro. I want to review it.
Yeah.
And other one you said.
Yeah, when you get a chance. Inception. That's
another
mind fuck. Okay. I keep wanting to get you to watch Memento because that's also on Amazon Prime. Like I said, that's Christopher Nolan's first one.
Yeah.
I think I turned him off it because I said, oh, it's in reverse order. All the scenes are in reverse order. Yeah. But it's like, I didn't find it particularly hard to follow. Right. I don't think you'll find it particularly hard to follow.
If you just
and Guy Pearce is in it.
If you just joined the show, I'm going to reiterate. If you like this movie, if you've seen it before, see Midnight Alley by Guillermo.
Nightmare Alley.
I've been drinking.
Yeah.
By Guillermo del Toro. It's very similar and just as good. Another masterpiece. You can learn from Nightmare Alley. Really good. It's about mind fucking people.
And this one is kind of like, well, this like I said, like that's kind of like another thing. I don't know. I feel like I said, this movie, you could totally read it because his delusion, right, is that his wife died in a fire. He's coming here to Shutter Island to investigate the disappearance of this woman who killed her 3 children. Like she just disappeared and she escaped. And he's coming here to investigate that. And also, as a sideline, the person who lit the match that caused the apartment fire that killed his wife is also supposedly on this island. So this is this whole narrative that he has come up with. And so, you know, and then he finds out, like, as his investigation goes on, that they're doing all of these Nazi-type experiments on the prisoners, like, you know, scrambling their brains and trying to essentially, like, turn them into Manchurian candidates is what they're saying. They're trying to make them, he calls them turning them into ghosts. But he's like, they're just trying to, like, replace their personalities for CIA purposes, you know what I mean? So that's kind of this whole thing that he's come up with. I will note, though, that this movie leaves it just ambiguous enough that he could be right about that. I don't think he is. I do think that, you know, when the twist happens and they're like, we just are trying to help you get better by, you know, we were going along with your delusion to see if it would work. You know what I mean? I do think that that's the case, but you could read it the other way too.
I have to see it over and over again to try to analyze. It's just like Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's alternate ways of looking at it.
Yeah. And I do kind of like, too, that, like, a lot of the doctor characters, like Ben Kingsley, it's like, I feel like he usually plays bad guys.
Yeah.
So I kind of think that you're already primed to think that he's up to some sinister shit. But I think in the end, and this is my opinion, in the end, I think he is exactly what he appears to be, that he is a very, very compassionate doctor, and he is actually really trying to help all of these people by trying to understand them and trying to listen to them. And he's going through this whole elaborate ruse because he really hopes that it's going to help Teddy. You know what I mean? Because if you see, too, that there's kind of like doctors, because Max von Sydow's character, he seems not so down with this. You know, kind of, he's a lot more cautious about it. He's like, yeah, maybe we should be more compassionate toward them, but maybe, you know, they might be dangerous and blah, blah, blah. And then you have somebody like Ted Levine's character, who is just absolutely not, we should just, like, fucking lobotomize them so they're, you know, and just, like, put them in a room somewhere so they're not in any trouble. So it's almost kind of like a spectrum. But I don't know. I do kind of feel like it, even though they leave it slightly ambiguous, that, yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio's or Teddy's delusion, that could be what's really happening, and they're just mind-fucking him. Like, they really were drugging him, and they were really trying to wipe out his identity and stuff. But I don't think that's the case. I think it is the case that the doctor was actually trying to help him and then was really bummed out. Because he seemed really bummed out, like, when he regresses at the end.
On the surface, it looks like that he was crazy.
Yeah.
I'd have to see it again. Maybe more than once. But I guarantee you, the writing is always in a way where it's always going to be left open to interpretation.
Yeah.
It could be either, probably.
But I think that's the... I like movies like that.
Yeah.
Because it inspires, like, just endless discussion. Yeah. Because nobody's right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Really.
Right.
So you could just kind of, like, and I like that. I like movies that you can, like, just have... You know, a movie's... If you just see it one time and you're like, yeah, that was good, and you just kind of forget about it, I mean, that was not great. You know, a movie to be great, you want to, like, keep talking about it.
The old Arnold movie, fucking Total Recall. I was convinced that... No, he wasn't Cohagen. That he was the good guy all along. But over the years, when I grew older, I realized that was my emotions talking to me. Chances are, he just got the trip that he paid for.
Yeah.
To become a secret agent and to see the girl that
but
had the big booty.
You could read it the other way, too.
And find the aliens and everything, because they predict everything.
Yeah.
He was tripping.
They tell you at the beginning.
They tell you the very beginning.
Everything that's going to happen.
Everything that's going to happen.
And then that's what happened.
And that's what happened.
That's what he paid for.
That he saved Mars and was the hero and he's a secret agent.
On the thing. Yeah. That's what he paid for. Because they said you won't be able to tell the difference.
Right.
You know. But see, that's kind of like the same thing with this, where, you know, is he really crazy or are they mind-fucking him? That's what's great about these kind of movies that are set in, like, insane asylums or, like, you know, mental health kind of stuff, because it's like you could totally leave it open where the person is totally crazy and they just constructed this whole elaborate fantasia in their mind because of their guilt and shit like that about what happened, really. Or they could have just planted those memories. Like I said, they could be drugging him like he thought they were. All kind of stuff could be happening.
I'd have to see it again.
Like I said, I don't think
that's
the case.
It's gonna be either way.
I think that he was actually crazy and was, like, deluded. And I think, like, the flashback he has at the end, like, with his wife drowning the kids and him shooting her and stuff, I think that's what really happened. And he just kind of made up this whole thing to deal with it. Even though the thing about it is that, I don't know. I guess it didn't help that, because they made reference later that the reason they were thinking about lobotomizing him, because they were like, this is our last ditch effort. If this whole elaborate role play thing that we're doing, like, doesn't snap him out of it, because he had snapped out of it before, but then he went back into it, they said. They're like, if he doesn't snap out of it this time, they're gonna just lobotomize him because he was violent. Because remember that other prisoner, George Noyce, mm-hmm. who got his ass beat, and Teddy had this whole other fantasy about what that dude had done, but, like, George Noyce was the only guy in the movie that basically told him the truth. He's like, who did all that to you? He's like, you did. Yeah. But he didn't remember it because that wasn't part of his fantasy, you know what I mean? So he had, like, beaten up you know, other prisoners, and he had apparently beaten up, and he other actually beat up that other prisoner too, like later on in the movie. But, you know, he just started wailing on him. So they were afraid that they wouldn't be able to control him because his tendencies were so violent. Because I'm sitting there thinking, well, why necessarily would they have put somebody in this criminally insane hospital if he had just... I'm not saying it's cool to, like, shoot your wife. But she had just murdered their three children. And she basically said, she was very, very mentally ill, and she basically told him, set me free. And he seemed like he didn't really want to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I kind of feel like a lot of people, but see, the thing about it is that after he did that, I guess he just went off the fucking... Well, he was kind of deluded before that because he wasn't... I mean, she was obviously messed up. She burned their shit down. And he was just like, nah, 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 you're fine. We're just going to move out to this lake house and everything's going to be cool. And I guess that then his wife, like, killing the kids, he just couldn't deal with. Because, I mean, he even says, like, later on, he's just kind of like, I killed them because I should have done something to help her because I knew that she wasn't, you know, that she was mentally ill and I didn't do anything to help her. I was just kind of, like, papering it over and, like, thinking everything was going to be okay. So he held himself responsible not only for killing her, but for not getting her help before she did what she did. So that, you know, and like I said, I don't know, even though they do imply, as far as I remember in the movie, that he was actually in the war and that maybe he was, I don't know if he was actually there, like when they liberated Dachau or whatever, but it's just kind of like, I don't even know if he was... like, shot the Germans, or, like, that whole scene with the guy, that the German guy that tried to, like, kill himself, and he just, like, stood there and watched him die. I don't know if any of that was true, or if that was just something else that he was, like, piling on top of the guilt that he felt, you know what I mean? Because it was kind of hard to tell, like, what was real and what wasn't, because you were seeing everything subjectively from his perspective, and he was delusional, you know what I mean? So that's what makes this movie so good, because it's just kind of, like... There's just so many, like, interpretations of it, I guess. Xander said, I love Titanic.
Yeah, man. If you didn't have a Blu-ray of Blood Diamond on there. But if you find anything, you can send it to me. If not, we'll just watch... I'll watch Blood Diamond probably on Prime.
Yeah, somebody, we can find it somewhere.
Somebody said that Taboo, starring Tom Hardy, is probably on Prime. I don't know that.
Oh, yeah. We should look that one up, then.
I don't know that movie.
Yeah, Tammy said Leo was on the TV show Growing Pains. Holy shit, I had forgotten all about that. That was Kirk Cameron, right? The guy that turned into a weird creationist later. Yeah, Danny said a lot of people still talk about him in Basketball Diaries. Yeah, that was a great movie.
About who?
Leonardo DiCaprio. That was one of his early roles, yeah. Okay. Danny says this film and L.A. Confidential are almost similar kind of... Yeah, L.A. Confidential is another... neo-noir. I really liked that one, too. I think I saw that in the theater. Sebastian said, has anyone mentioned Catch Me If You Can? We have not, but I really, really do like that movie. Actually, if you liked Catch Me If You Can, please read the book, which is also called Catch Me If You Can. The movie's good, but the book is a lot better, because the book goes into, like, a lot more shit. This was based on a true story. A guy named Frank Abagnale, who I've been wanting to do a show about for a long time, because he was one of those dudes that... He was that guy that I was talking about who flew planes and, like, did surgery and didn't, you know what I mean? He was just, like, a front, yeah. And then, like, later on, he became, like, he started working for the government, like, helping them, you know what I mean? Like, catch people that, you know, did check fraud and stuff like that, because he knew how to do it. But just the balls on this dude, I mean, it's a fascinating fucking story. And the movie they made, it was, Tom Hanks was in it, too. And the movie was real good. But like I said, the book's a lot better because it goes into a lot more shit that he did that they didn't put in the movie, which I thought was kind of... But
she's looking for the paper.
She's like, where did it...
Oh. I moved the paper.
She's like,
I fucked it up for you.
You
She's like, what happened to it?
Yeah,
it's gone.
She's so disappointed. Tom has not seen The Departed. He has not.
If y'all want reviews on this shit, man, send us a Blu-ray. It'll go to the front of the line.
Yeah.
If not, then it just depends on what we watch.
Yeah, because sometimes it just kind of depends. Like, if somebody sends us movies, we'll do them.
Yeah, they go in front of the
Or if we, like, if we remember something, like, in the context of talking about another movie, it's like, oh, yeah, we should do that one because we haven't done it. Because there's a zillion movies we haven't done.
And there's shit out. And it doesn't have to be new, man. I just want it to be, like, a Blu-ray. And it could be used. And a lot of times, you know what I mean? It's cheaper than a Super Chat to fucking send it to us. So, you know. And then we'll do the show. And that helps build up my fucking catalog. I got a fucking whole bunch of shit.
But if not,
I have solid media.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, it's usually just... The reason we ended up watching this on Saturday night was just because I was scrolling through Amazon Prime and I was like, I've been wanting to see that. Because, like I said, for some reason, I never got around to it, even though I wanted to see it for a long time. And I was just like, I'm kind of in the mood for that. So I asked him about it. I was like, do you want to see this or do you want to see Memento? Because those were the two that I was in the mood for. I said, I kind of want to see a mindfuck kind of movie. And he wanted to watch this one, so we watched this one.
Yeah, I'm going to say it again, in case you just joined us. If you like this flick, see Guillermo del Toro's fucking Nightmare Alley. It's similar. Similar quality, hardcore, movie you can learn stuff from. Just awesome tale about a murderer who fucking joins the circus to become a fucking psychic. He's a fake psychic, but he can con anybody. And then he runs into some psychologists or psychiatrists that are doing the same thing. And they're having a war over this fucking rich dude who's a murderer. It's a fucking weird flick, man. Really good. Really good. Saw it in the theater. Loved it.
I'd kind of like to read the book, actually.
Yeah.
And see the original movie that they made back in the day.
Yeah.
I think they made the movie back in the 40s.
Yeah, and geeks are involved.
Yeah.
Where geeks come from. Yeah, it's like a fucking weird flick, man. But it's kind of a dark noir movie like this. With a lot of fucking twists and mental games. And fucking kind of... It's the kind of movie where fucking it makes you not trust anybody, that everything is a scam. You know, because everything in Nightmare Alley is a fucking scam. Yeah.
I already think everything is a scam.
Yeah, it's all scam.
Winter Fell Forever says, the scene where DiCaprio remembers what happened with his kids is absolutely heartbreaking. Yeah, I was just saying that a little bit earlier. I was just like, that... If anybody thinks Leonardo DiCaprio isn't a good actor, watch that fucking scene. You know what I mean? That is a horrifying fucking scene.
He's good, man. He won me over in this movie. I'm like, man, dude, fucking Leonardo DiCaprio's good. And I thought he was great in fucking Romeo and Juliet, but he was a kid actor then.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a kid.
I did see him in The Aviator. I thought that movie, it was a good movie. But not a great movie. I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was all right.
Like, I liked it.
This was a great movie.
Enjoyable.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I kind of like forgot about it.
Yeah, it's forgettable. This is a great flick.
But this one, I'm not going to forget about this one.
I want this one on Blu-ray.
I kind of like, I like weirder movies. The Aviator seemed like one of those big, it's really, really good, but it's one of those really big crowd-pleasing kind of movies that kind of just like hits all the beats of like a classic Hollywood movie. And that's good, like, you enjoy it when you watch it, but then it's not super memorable. I like movies like this that have, like, a little bit of grit to them, that have, like, a little bit of weirdness to them, that have a bit of ambiguity to them, so you're still, like, talking about them, like, trying to figure them out, like, later on. And I like how this one is almost, like I mentioned before, almost, like, meta. Like, the way he shot it was, like, slightly artificial. So it was almost trying to clue you in that what you were seeing wasn't entirely real.
It was an enhanced reality.
Yeah. So I really liked the way it was shot in that regard, because it's like everything looks just slightly off kilter, like slightly hyper real. And that's why, because you're seeing it from his perspective and he's not entirely rational.
You got all kinds of comments in there, suggestions.
I know. Well, everybody said, okay, so Camp Guy said Tom has got to see The Departed. Yeah, I agree. You probably should.
What's that one about?
It's like a gangster flick.
And who's in it?
Everybody.
Everybody?
Leonardo DiCaprio, Jack Nicholson.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, and it's...
All right.
Did that win an Oscar? I thought that won the Oscar that year. I can't remember the year it came out. Tammy said, Taboo is a series. It's on Prime, Freevee, and Plex. Okay. So we'll have to
watch
it.
It's a series?
It's a series, yeah. The one with Tom Hardy in it, yeah.
Okay. How many's in it? How many episodes?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Because I have all of those.
What's it about?
Well, I don't know. We'll find out. What's it about? He's what's going on?
Yeah, what? It ain't the goat.
This, I can't believe you remember that. That's kind of like my go-to, like whatever. And that's going back a long. When did the first Jurassic Park come out? 1993? 90s,
yeah.
Me and my friend, Jen, whose name is also Jen, we saw Jurassic Park in the theater when it first came out. And it was packed, obviously. So we saw it, and right behind us, there was this old, old man and his wife. And I guess the old guy was maybe deaf, or I don't really know. But, it, like, his wife kept, like, mumbling to him, like, what was going on in the... Because he would always, like, whatever was going on in the movie, who's this now? Yeah. What's happening? And then it's a... But he kept, like, commenting on, like, what... So when they put the goat out and the dinosaur ate it, he goes very, like, very loudly, it ate the goat! And I was just kind of like,
yes, sir.
Thank you. We are all watching the same movie that you're watching. Yeah. Thank you very much for providing the running commentary. But, you
sometimes
know.
The old man wants to be the center of attention. Wants to be the center of attention.
It ain't the goat. So now, like, every time... So now every time somebody says, like, something that's, like, really obviously happening in the movie, I always go, it ain't the goat, like, in an old man's voice, because I still remember that this many. Because, shit, man, that was, what, 30 years ago now or something like that. But I still remember it, like, it was fucking yesterday, because it was just, like, so fucking funny. It's like old people at movies, man.
Yeah.
Holy crap, they're always, like, talking. But it's like, yeah, so it's always, because Tom does that sometimes, too, and I make fun of he didn't say it, but he'll be like, well, who's this?
What happened?
What's going on?
Yeah.
Is this that person that did that? And I was just like, no, just watch it. I was just like, just watch it.
I did it in the house, though, not in the movie theater.
Yeah, you don't do it in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Every now and then he does it in the movie theater, but he'll whisper, at least. But he does it in the house, and it's like, who's this?
Yeah.
Who's that? It's like, it just reminds me of that. It's like funny. But yeah, so let's see.
People are saying that, yeah, Nightmare Alley was fucking awesome.
I love
Tammy saw both of them.
I love that movie. Yeah, I want to see the originals, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Xana said The Departed is a top 5 gangster movie of all time.
Man, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like,
send that shit to me, man. If anybody wants to send us this shit, we'll talk about it.
Xana said that is sending The Departed and Inception.
Is that what you said?
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. If you guys want to send us something, just contact Jen. Yeah,
because you haven't seen either one of those.
You can contact Jen either here on
well, Xanadu knows what our address
on YouTube
is.
I'm talking about other people.
He knows where we live.
You can contact Jen on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. 13 O'Clock Podcast or Jennifer Ashford.
Yeah,
Jenny Ashford. She'll give you the address. You can send that shit here through Amazon.
Yeah, either on the 13 O'Clock Podcast page or... my personal page.
And then,
which is now Jenny Ashford
Ross. We'll review it. It'll go to the front of the line.
Yeah.
Somebody send us something, we just review it.
Yeah.
Usually in a couple days.
Winterfell Forever said, I think the performances in The Departed are way better than the plot itself. The premise is great, but the execution is kind of all over the place. It has some plot holes, and it's unnecessarily complicated. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I see what you're saying, though. Yeah, Kank Guy said The Departed won Best Picture or Oscar. And I think maybe Scorsese won for Director, but not sure. Yeah, I thought it was at least nominated, but I don't usually watch the Oscars, and I usually forget to. Yeah, Tammy said that show Taboo is about Tom Hardy being sexy as hell. That's really all you need
to know. Okay, well, we had to see that. Does the back arch come into play? Because I'm a student.
Because Tom's like...
I'm a student of the back arch. I'm trying to... Yeah. I got to see how he did that. I'll fucking make all kinds of money on fucking... on fucking Fansly.
He's got like a fucking protractor.
I don't have put anything up on Fansly yet. I'm going to put some shit up on Fansly.
Yeah, I can't believe you haven't put anything up
some
there.
Some back arch
like,
on
as
that
long
bitch.
As...
I fucking got a new
you
exercise
machine. You got
accepted
a long time ago.
Got a new Roman chair in where I'm fucking doing Roman chair exercises. Fucking get some fucking taper. More taper to the waist on the back. That way you don't have two butts. You only got one. Yeah, you know, you got a butt here and another butt. Try to get rid of all that shit.
The extra butt?
The extra butt, yeah. Just trying to bring that shit in, see? Well, fucking...
Town's trying to be
daddy
honest.
Porn.
Tom's trying to be all foxy.
I'm not trying.
I was going to say, you don't got to try.
It's
just
seed in my
you're just
shit.
You're just
I'm
naturally.
I'm a top 1% for fucking
you're 54.
You're
naturally foxy. You didn't even have
it
to try.
It ain't natural. None of this shit's all
supernatural. Well, no, you know what I mean, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to try nothing.
Nah, this all shit's all supernatural. I'm a Sith Lord, and I'm fucking biologically enhanced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Strawdog78 said, in Taboo, Tom Hardy plays a man that decides to go up against the British East India Company.
Oh, that sounds good already.
Yeah, and Tammy said, it's only 8 episodes. Believe me, you're going to wish there was more.
Okay.
Okay, that does sound good, actually.
What year are we talking? When did this happen?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it's fairly recent. Like that's I said, crazy. There's too much shit for me to keep track of, yeah. man. It's like, it's hard for me to just keep track of the horror movies and then, like, all right. the other shit that I want to see, like dramas and mysteries and thrillers and all that kind of stuff. It's like, it's too much. I don't have time. I wish I had time, but I don't. Winterfell Forever said, talking about horror, a very good horror series is The Terror. Yeah, we saw that. About an actual English expedition close to the North Pole, circa 1850. It is very good. Yeah, I liked that a lot. It's actually based on the Dan Simmons novel. Yeah. Although it's also based on a true thing.
Yeah, I thought the quality was very good, that movie. But I also thought that I thought the story was kind of dry and boring a little bit.
If they're going to do a Dan Simmons novel, I really wish they'd make a series out of Drood. God, I love that fucking book.
Because it took a long time for things to happen in that. Probably would have that is a series that would have made a better book.
Well, it was a book.
It was a book. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a novel. Like it's Dan Simmons and I love Dan.
Yeah,
Simmons.
And then director was dude from Blade Runner. His name
The new Blade Runner?
No, old Blade Runner.
Oh, okay.
What was his name?
Who, Ridley Scott?
Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott did that. And Ridley Scott, he's good when he's real good when he's sober. Okay, that dude drinks too much. It just I think he's better with sci-fi when they don't fucking butcher his work. Prometheus would have been fucking great had they not chopped that bitch up. Because they didn't want to fucking talk about Space Jesus. You know, fucking
Space Jesus.
Yeah, Space Jesus. That Jesus was fucking an alien plant. That would have been a great horror fucking angle.
Well, yeah.
And they didn't want to even mention Jesus. So fuck these bitches. The original Prometheus script was fucking great.
Let's see. Hold on. Danny says, what's Wednesday's show going to be? Oh, I told you guys before, but our listener Mutt sent us 2 books about this one particular case. This happened in the 1970s, and it happened in Minnesota, like at this really famous like mansion that you can do tours. There's like a very brutal murder that took place there. So it's called like the Glen Sheen murders. So that's what we're going to be talking about, because I've been reading these 2 books. Because we thought, well, he sent us these books, so I'm going to do a show about that. That's what we're going to do a show about. But it's a good case. I've been watching like some documentaries about it, stuff like that. Xana said both movies should be there on Saturday.
Okay.
I'm going to have to rewatch Inception. Yeah, I really need to. I saw it before.
Okay.
But there's a lot to talk about with that, because that's another kind of mindfucky kind of
movie. Okay, well, you're going to get 2 reviews back to back.
I mean, we could either do a double feature, or we could do one.
One and another.
And then another one.
Yeah, each one's going to get a full review.
Yeah.
If you buy multiple movies, we don't cheap out. You're going to get full review.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny says, Prometheus is great. The sequel was complete poopy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't.
Well, you knew that they didn't bastardized have much, the original, yeah, so it had to go down this fucking weird way. Now they're working on Alien Romulus, which is supposed to be something happening in between Alien and Aliens, like 1 and 2. They say it's going to be pretty good, but I don't believe anything until I see it. You can't tell any more stories about xenomorphs. I mean, Alien versus Predator I thought was a good angle. But the fucking Engineers was a great angle. They should have just gone down that way. Because I know what the original script said. Bunch of immortals, basically, that were seeding the fucking galaxy with humanoid life because they had lost the ability to procreate. Well, what they're talking about is fucking all the damn religious mythos that we have. Giant people from the stars creating life. Sons of God type of deal. Angels. Anunnaki. That was a fucking great angle. And they fucked it up. And I'm not going to blame Ridley for that. That was a great idea. It's just the studios. The studios wanted an alien movie with xenomorphs and shit. They told that story already.
Yeah. You know, the thing about it, though, is that a lot of times I don't want to defend studio heads because a lot of times their heads are up their asses and they don't really know anything. But sometimes, too, they're like, okay, well, you can just do what you want, and then the director does, like, some crazy shit, and then audiences are like, nah, bro. And they like, they won't go see it. And then it's like a failure. So I can see why they're cautious. And they're like, well, we just want to go with something that has been successful in the past.
Yeah.
Like, they're, well, you know, they're very conservative in that regard. Yeah, they don't really want to do anything weird or anything new or anything like that because they're afraid that nobody's going to go see it because it's like an untested premise. I get that.
Prometheus looked great. The problem with Prometheus, why people didn't like it, because it didn't make any goddamn sense. And it didn't make any sense because the studio cut it to pieces. It'd have been much better if they just let it fucking ride with the script that he had. It made perfect sense. But people wanted to, like, you know, and it didn't have anything to do with the fucking ship that they found that had the original eggs. That was on another planet in that same system. But they were going to get to that, evidently.
Yeah, but, well, you know. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Zach just got here. Hey, guys, up. I just got back
from just now, Zach, I mentioned you, bitch.
Just got back from a hookup.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't you because you were
me.
Here.
It could have been me. I'm fucking loyal to my woman. I don't want to hook up with y'all gays like that.
Except when that one song is on.
Just when that, yeah. When fucking Gavin Friday comes on and the angel starts playing Zach.
Then all bets are off.
It's me and you, bro. It's me and you.
All bets are off. There's the bubble bath.
Bubble bath. Fucking
there's the
Vegas.
Pink, there's the pink champagne.
The top of the damn fucking penthouse of a Vegas fucking
hotel. It's like
hotel.
Rotating and shit.
Shit rotating.
Sure.
Whole fucking silver platters of lewds and cocaine and all kinds of shit and condoms.
Wow.
Nah, fuck condoms. Me and Zach don't need no fucking condom. Shitty there with a fucking camera, bubble bath and shit going. It's a gay paradise.
It better be a heart-shaped bathtub. That's
gay paradise. That kind of paradise could never happen between heterosexuals. It's not subversive enough.
Yeah, it's not.
It's got to be homosexual. Yeah, that's fucking shit's dirty, man. Perverted shit. That's what makes it so hot. Isn't that right, Zach?
Everybody likes shit that's a little bit
yeah, that's just
dirty.
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
You know how I know how you are. You like stuff.
Well, not fucking. Me and Jen were throwing down before this fucking show. I was tearing it up, man.
Yeah,
yeah. And I was so fucking tired afterwards. I was like, I gotta go. And I took a nap.
Did you really?
You fucking sucked my soul out.
Well, I guess it was a good thing that I like went in there like a couple hours before the show started.
You what now?
That I went in there a couple hours before the show started, so you actually had time to recover.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because you were just like,
I gotta get some sleep. Yeah.
He was like worn out.
Well,
like,
that shit went down right here, man, right behind us. It didn't happen in bed. That shit was spontaneous. She came in the room, fucking. I was sitting there, fucking halfway dozing off. She goes, "Let's go fuck." I was like, okay, yeah.
He's
yeah,
like,
I'm
all right.
I'm in a mood for that. Yeah. See it. Ask and ye shall receive.
Sure, I know. I like
it,
that.
I like it. Fucking, I like that shit just spontaneous. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. He just came right along. He's like, all right.
Yeah.
I could do that.
You didn't understand the power that you had.
Oh my god. All right. So we've wandered very far afield from the movie, but you know,
this is a great flick. Totally endorsed by fucking Tom Ross, and I'm not fucking.
And Tom's super picky. You
I'm
know,
real picky.
If he likes something, then you know it's got to be really
good. I was 10 minutes into this movie going, this movie's fucking great.
Yeah, he really got in, like, way into it. Like I said, he was like.
I got good taste.
Immediately, like, got his attention. He he turned off the tablet and put the tablet down.
I'm
which
like,
is
oh, this is serious.
I got to watch this. That's a very serious. Because, like I said, if he's not into something, he'd just be like, eh.
No. I know quality know what I mean? When I see it. I know quality. I know quality storytelling and good acting. I'm a trained actor. So I know I'm going. No, they're not fucking around here. I didn't know it was Martin Scorsese.
Yeah,
it makes more sense now.
It's I feel like he's it's good, a movie of his that nobody.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm saying nobody talks about it, but a lot of people don't talk about it. Like it's almost kind of one of his quote unquote forgotten ones.
Yeah.
Even though it made like all the money, it made a fuck ton of money. What, like $250 million or something? It made a lot of money.
I didn't know. I never heard of this.
Yeah. Like I said, I kept hearing about it, and I kept like, oh yeah, I got to see that because it's kind of like a horror movie. And it's just like, I just never got around to it because I was like, oh, I want to see Martin Scorsese do a horror movie. That's awesome. But I just never got around to it. But then like Saturday night, I saw it on Amazon Prime and I was just like, oh, I'm totally in the mood for that right now. Let's watch that.
Senator's going on about fucking he's a great actor of his generation. I guess he is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough about DiCaprio. But yeah, I guess he is. I want to see more of his shit.
I don't think I've ever
out of the DiCaprio loop.
I don't think I've ever seen him in a bad movie, now that I'm thinking about it. I'd have to go back and check.
I know one thing. That old dude, he's younger than me. I think he's late 40s right now, maybe or very
probably.
Early 50s.
Probably.
And he's always with some fucking hottie, man, who's like fucking 22, 23.
Please tell me he's like a cool person.
He gotta be.
Is it gonna come out later that he's like some kind of fucked up, like, I don't know.
Probably not. He's probably pretty cool.
Maybe.
He's probably pretty cool.
I mean, I haven't heard anything bad about him, but that I don't really like keep up with all that stuff, so it's possible.
He was also, if I remember correctly, he was also...
Yeah, Xana said he's in his 50s, so he's our age.
So, okay, so he's my age. I thought he was younger than me. Wasn't he also in, what was the name of that? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah.
Yeah. He did a great job.
He's fucking great in that. I love that fucking movie.
I forgot about that.
I
own that movie. One of the best Tarantino flicks. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Easily.
Oh yeah. And it was like it was so long, and it was like a hangout movie, but I didn't even get. I didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
I was just like vibing with it. Yeah. I was like, man, this is a fucking blast. I really. Yeah,
I forgot about that flick. He does
I really like that movie.
Fucking DiCaprio does a fucking outstanding job as an actor in that one.
Yeah. It's
fucking real good. Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays a Western actor.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great in that fucking...
Yeah, and he gets involved in the fucking Massa family. Yeah, fucking... Yeah, it's a great flick, man.
I mean, that's just... Everybody in that is so good. Yeah. I love that movie so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, we own that, actually. Mm-hmm. We saw that in the theater...
Saw the theater twice.
Twice, actually.
And then the first thing I did is when it was available on Blu-ray, I fucking ordered
it. It's excellent. I really, really like it.
I think it's a steelbook edition I got.
Yeah. I think I bought it for you.
Yeah. Said I've got
for
have
your
that
birthday
one.
Or Christmas
yeah,
or
so
something.
Yeah, I've got to have that one.
Yeah. Tammy says Leo is 49.
49? Okay, so he's younger than me.
So, a couple years younger than I am.
Yeah, he's 5 years younger than me.
Okay. Not, you know.
Yeah.
And Xana said he seems pretty private. He's not in the media a lot. Well, that's a plus. That's always a plus.
He's staying single and he's fucking hanging out with them young chicks. But I understand it. I understand it. He can.
Yeah.
He can, yeah.
And I mean, like I said,
he's a good looking guy.
As long as everyone's consenting and nothing comes out like some Epstein shit,
no.
You know what I mean?
No. So. My understanding is he likes him around 25.
Well, I mean, I guess he can get it.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's legal. So.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Yeah, they're talking about he was in The Great Gatsby, too. I didn't see that version. I've read the book, obviously, and I've seen some other versions of the movie. But I didn't see the Leonardo DiCaprio version. It's weird because it seemed like it almost... Like, nobody really talks about it. And so I don't even know if it was good or... I always liked that book. I read it in school, but... Zach says, doesn't this movie have that really sad violin song in it that's in every movie when it's have a sad scene? I don't know. This movie, actually... I'm pretty sure that this was all a classical score, if I remember correctly. They used a lot of mostly classical music in this. I know there's like Gustav Mahler and a bunch of other pieces in it. But I think it was all classical. So I don't know if there was any score that was specifically for this movie. The Howard Hughes. Yeah, we were talking about that before, The Aviator. Which I remember really liking, but I only saw it once. And I remember liking it a lot, but I don't really remember a lot about it. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, that was good, but it didn't really stick with me. Danny says, eBay has Blood Diamond for $7.19, free shipping. Xana, to look harder next time, dude. Well, like I said, we have pretty much all the streaming services. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So we can usually find most of the movies. But Tom does like to own movies he really likes. He likes to have them, like a physical copy. So when he saw this Saturday, he was just like, yeah, I'm going to buy that. So I was happy. Because like I said, I told him, sometimes it's... I usually let him pick, you know what I mean? Because I'm just kind of like, because I'll watch whatever. I'm not really all that picky. I don't know. Well, that's not true. But is, you know what I mean? I'll watch pretty much anything. I'll be like, that was all right. But I was kind of in the mood for either this movie, because I hadn't seen it, or Memento, which I have seen a couple of times. I actually saw that in the theater when it came out. But I wanted Tom to see it because he really likes Christopher Nolan and he had never seen it. So I was like, okay, well, I was like, which one do you want to watch? You know, because then you can't complain. If I pick something and he doesn't like it, then he's going to bitch at me.
I don't bitch.
No,
I don't bitch. I just kind of check
but then
out.
But then I'll feel bad.
I kind of just check out. I'm like,
so yeah, I was very happy. Like, when we first started watching this, like, and he put the tablet down, and like just sat there and watched it, and I was like, oh, all right, he's liking this movie. Yeah. He's liking this movie.
I got good taste. I can tell when a good movie comes.
I can never tell. I've told you before. It's easy to tell at home when we're watching something at home. Because like I said, if you don't like something, because you just pick your tablet back up and check out of it. When we're in the theater, I can't ever tell because you just kind of sit there and look at it. I mean, unless you fall asleep or something, because you've done that a couple times. But
I've fallen asleep in movies I liked.
That's true.
Though too, sometimes they'll lull me to sleep. The one that really surprised her is that when she took me to see
The Art of Self-Defense.
Art of Self-Defense. One of my favorite movies.
I thought you would hate it.
One of my favorite movies.
Because I loved it. I watched it. I was like, oh my God, this is like
hilarious.
Because that's exactly my sense of humor.
I could watch that shit over and over again.
Because I love dark comedy.
There's so much truth in it about warrior cults. All right?
The whole time I was watching it, I'm like, oh my God, Tom's going to hate this.
I'm like, this is not comedy. This is a documentary.
Yeah.
This is fucking Count Dante and the fucking, you know.
Well, yeah, it's based on
this. This is about Count Dante and the fucking, what was the name of this fucking little
the Black Dragon
Fighting Society. Yeah, that was the kind of shit they were doing. So I immediately, you know, like, yeah, okay, this is it. This is real. Yeah, it was funny, but no, that's what
they funny
was.
Like in a dark kind that's of way. Which, like I said, I was kind of into that because like it was almost exactly my sense of humor.
And there was like
I thought it was fucking hilarious.
They're using martial arts, but there's also some fucking kind of spillover into fucking military units with like airborne and rangers and shit like that. They're kind of like that too, which is insane, insane warrior cults, you know?
Yeah, but it's funny. It's ripe for black comedy, that whole idea. Yeah.
And the dude that fucking wrote that shit was soy as fuck. But no, I agreed with him.
Yeah.
I understand his viewpoint. I was seeing my world through his viewpoint and kind of agreeing with him.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, he was seen as an observer and I was seeing it as a participant.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
Zach says... You know, you wouldn't think Scorsese's really jagged and energetic style would work for a horror movie, but I guess it does. LMAO. Yeah, like I said, I kind of feel like this is almost like I don't know if I'd call it an outlier in Scorsese's, you know, film catalog, but it's definitely a different thing. But like I said, I kind of like the way he just made it. I'm going to make it like an old school noir movie. Like, it has this real overwrought score, and it's just like has this kind of artifice to it, and it's just like I like that he just went balls deep and just made it like a movie from back then. I think maybe some critics didn't get that's what he was doing, but because they're like, oh, it's too much, it's like over the top or whatever, but it's just like I didn't think it was like that at all. I think if you watch it through the lens of like a 40s noir movie, like, it makes total sense. See, he's homaging that, but and it is like creepy, it's scary, and I really liked all the imagery and stuff, so yeah, it totally worked. I think
Sanders says I'm gonna love what movie?
Where is it?
Down the bottom, said it recently.
Oh, okay. Tom's gonna love The Departed. Yeah, I always kind of thought he probably would. Jack Nicholson, Mark Wahlberg, right. Matt Damon, and Leonardo DiCaprio. It's amazing.
Yeah,
Mark Wahlberg's in
fucking, that's another one of my favorite movies, man.
He's another guy that you wouldn't think would be all that good, because he was just like, you know, he was Marky Mark in the Funky Bunch.
He's fucking great, man. What was that Florida movie that I saw?
But he was in Pain Again. But I mean, the first time I saw him, and it's because he was in movies before that, but like I saw him in Boogie Nights, and he was fucking great in that.
Great, yeah.
Like, he's really good. Now, he doesn't have much range as an actor, I will say that. But
they cast him right, though.
But when they cast him as someone that's a little bit... someone who's kind of like not all that bright and like out of their depth, he's great at that kind of role.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which, like I said, that's, you know.
If y'all haven't seen Pain and Gain, see it. It's fucking got The Rock in it, Mark Wahlberg. It's got an all-star cast, and it's a Florida true crime story about some shit that really happened here. It's on par with the Black Dragon Fighting Society, man. Fucking some dudes dressed up like ninjas fucking capturing people to hold them ransom.
Hilarious. It's a true story. It's a true story. And it's not that exaggerated, the movie, is it?
And the dude came out of a gym. He was a fitness instructor, played by Mark Wahlberg. It's in a high-end fucking gym down in Miami. And they dressed up as ninjas to do their fucking crimes. And when people told the police, yeah, just no, the police didn't believe them, which is, in a way, they did the shit because they were dumb as fuck.
But it's also...
But it was also genius.
Yeah, it was so dumb that it kind of came around and became smart again.
The cops couldn't believe that. No, they weren't dressed as ninjas. Yeah, they were ninjas.
That happens sometimes.
We got attacked by ninjas.
Sometimes you can do shit that's, like, so stupid that it's almost, like, genius.
Yeah,
It's
a
circle.
They dressed up like ninjas and commandos on another one when they fucking attacked the dude's fucking palatial fucking waterfront home. Yeah, it's just fucking
It's a
great.
Fucked up story. Yeah. Danny says we should do Memento, and also we should do The Others. Oh, I've been wanting to do The Others for a really long time. That's a good movie.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite ghost stories ever.
Look, we've been online for a while. Let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Hour and 15 minutes. Well, wait. Winterfell Forever says, "How about The Three Musketeers? DiCaprio is awful in it. By the way, a horrendous movie. Everybody is in it for the check." I don't remember if
never
I ever saw.
Saw
that.
Yeah, I never saw.
I think I saw clips of it,
never
and
even
yeah,
heard
it,
of it
did look kind of bad.
Yeah,
I just never bothered.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, I remember seeing like trailers and shit for it, and I think I've seen clips, but I didn't like watch it all the way through. And Danny also says American Ultra is Jesse Eisenberg at his best. He was the guy that was in Art of Self-Defense. He was also in Zombieland, which is also
I like Eisenberg. I really respect his
and he was
work.
In Vivarium.
Vivarium
I fucking love Vivarium.
Hey, if there's any Eisenberg flicks you all want me to see, send it to me. I like Eisenberg.
You should see the Facebook movie.
And his girlfriend that was with him in those two movies was fucking also really good. I think that's his girlfriend. They're always working together.
Imogene Poots.
Yeah, yeah. She did a fucking great job in Vivarium.
I like her.
She's
in a lot of
good
stuff.
Yeah, she's really good.
She's in a lot of good stuff. Zach says, I think you guys would love Killers of the Flower Moon. That's the newest Martin Scorsese movie. It's kind of a horror movie, too. Yeah, I kept seeing the trailers. It does look good. Danny says, The Departed is definitely not accurate at all. Whitey Bulger went out a way more horrific way, unlike the movie. Yeah, but, you know, we'll get into it. We should probably do a show about Whitey Bulger one of these days.
There's a Whitey Bulger movie with...
yeah, I know.
With what's-his-name is in it.
I think there's more than one, if I'm remembering correctly.
The one that did, the fucking dude. The dude that played fucking the pirate movie. Oh, shit, what's his name?
Who, Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp. Yeah, Johnny Depp did a Bulger movie.
The pirate movie.
The pirate.
I knew what you were talking about.
I saw Johnny Bulger and his men.
Whitey
Bulger. When I lived in Winter Hill up in Boston, I saw him. They were unloading some files from an abandoned candy store that they were using. That was a weird night. It was coming back from the goth club. They had the whole fucking... They had security out and everything. And fucking guys fucking standing around. Middle of the fucking night. They were bringing fucking dollies of fucking file cabinets out. Loading them in the back of a truck. Right top of fucking Winter Hill. In... Yeah, Winter Hill. I saw him. But I didn't know who Whitey Bulger was.
Yeah.
I didn't know who they were. But I saw those guys.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they were part of the Winter Hill gang. I didn't know there was a Winter Hill gang.
Now you
know. I just said, these dudes are gangsters. They had taken over the whole fucking street. There's about 15 of them. And they just looked like fucking corny-ass dudes in fucking suits. In the middle of the night, fucking loading shit up in the back of a truck, smiling at me as I was coming. And fucking walked into my apartment.
It's like, hey, don't kill me. I didn't see anything.
I was looking around like, what the fuck is this? They're looking at me, you know what this is? I said, no, I don't know what this is. That was kind of, what are you guys doing? And he's grinning. So one dude they had out on security, he was in his 30s. It wasn't Bulger, but Bulger must have been unloading the shit out of the candy shop. It's not there anymore. I checked on Google Earth. I looked.
Yeah,
just torn down his house.
Yeah, Xanadu said that Departed is loosely based on Whitey Bulger. It's actually a remake of a Hong Kong movie.
All right, yeah.
Danny says Johnny Bulger is a good porn name. It is.
Yeah, it's bulging.
Oh, and Winterfell Forever. I had forgotten about this. Scorsese also made Cape Fear. Like, yeah, he did a remake of Cape Fear.
Yeah, great film. I like
it. It is over the top, perhaps, but also could be seen as a horror. Yeah,
I still liked it.
It's classified as a thriller, but I would probably call that
great
a horror.
Great flick.
And actually, I mentioned it in my horror video that I just put up the other day.
Yeah, like, it's one of the great flicks of the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of crossover between horror and thriller. I know people like to argue about it, but, because people will say, like, Silence of the Lambs isn't a horror movie. Fuck that. It totally is a horror movie. Sorry. And I'm pretty sure Cape Fear is, too. I would call it a horror movie. All right, so we are going to wrap this up. Go get something to eat.
Yeah.
And
I got some chili, man.
Do like we do. Yeah, he made some chili with stuff from the garden.
Yeah. What we were drinking was from the garden. It was passion fruit I got from the
garden. Yeah, I told him, I was like, ooh, we got farm to table, backyard to table cocktails. Yeah.
Passion fruit and rum.
Yeah.
And I'm
we didn't make the rum, obviously. No, we bought that at the liquor store.
As Bacardi, yeah.
But the passion fruit,
yeah,
they grew out back.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to wrap it up for this evening. So thank you all for dropping by. As I said, on Wednesday's show, we're going to be talking about the Glen Sheen murders, which happened back in 1977. Thanks again to Mutt for sending us the books about it, because I'm working my way through them at the moment so I can take some more notes and stuff. And yeah, so that should be good. We'll see you guys again on Wednesday night. Good night.